Join with Pat and welcome everybody out to the services, and we invite you to get your Bibles and follow along as we're going to be looking from Exodus 16 and John 6 and talking about this manna from heaven. It's quite interesting when you study the Old Testament. You have lots of things that were given in shadow of what was to happen in the substance that was in Christ, the body that is in Christ. Like the sun shining out there, when you're standing, you'll see the shadow, and of course the body casts the shadow, and that's the way it is. And the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament is that the body, the true substance, is in the New Testament order, but foreshadowed in Old Testament. And there's just some interesting parallels when we talk about the manna from heaven. I'd like to begin by just reading some of the verses here in Exodus 16, and then in John chapter 6, and then we'll try to make some points for us to give consideration to. In Exodus 16, verse 4 says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rain every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Dropping on down in verse 12, it says, "I heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, At even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round, and a small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna." You might have other translations say, "What is it?" Because that's what the word manna means. It literally carries the idea of whatness. Whatness. What is it? Well, what is it? Manna, what is it? "For they knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given for you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, or measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. That is, you'd have some that could gather up faster than others, and some slower, but then they would divide it all out, be sure everybody got the proper proportion. And then it says, verse 19, "And Moses said, Let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seed that which you will seed, and that which remaineth over, lay it up for you to keep until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, and Moses bade, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. For Moses said, Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find any in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." And then drop down, verse 31, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like cord of seed, white, and its taste was like wafers made with honey." Alright, now that's the Old Testament account of the giving of the manna. That went on for some 40 years. So they come into the land of Canaan, and then God made other provisions for them. Now let's notice over in John, the 6th chapter. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 29. John chapter 6, verse 29. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee.
What doest thou? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father which giveth you the true bread from heaven. You're not saying that what they had was false bread, but true in the sense of substance and the body. What they had was only a shadow. For the bread of God is He which came down from heaven and giveth His life unto the world. And they said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all they which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but that I should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at Him, because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that He said, I came down from heaven? I thought that was ridiculous. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drink my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Well, there we have a striking parallel of the manna from heaven. The manna that the Jews had, the manna that we have, that is available to us. And there's some interesting parallels between both of them in the shadow and in the substance. It's like if you were standing up in the sun and you held up five fingers, you could see the semblance of five fingers. Even so, there is striking parallels. May I first suggest, when we look at the manna back then, and we look at the manna today, God is the supplier. He's the one that provides. Excuse me. There in Exodus 16 and verse 4, he says, I will rain. God says, I will rain manna from heaven or bread from heaven. God says, I'm going to do it. He is the supplier. That's what Jesus said about the true bread. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The genuine substance, not just a shadow of what was to come, but the genuine substance. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3 and in verse 16. And so God is the one who is the giver of this manna. If you were wandering in the wilderness, it's not like you had fruit markets and McDonald's to stop in and say, Well, I'm a little hungry. I think I want to pop down McDonald's and get me a bite to eat. When you was wandering in the wilderness as a Jew, there was nothing around. It was barren and desolate. It's a lot of it, particularly in that in that area. You might have a little oasis here and there, but about everything else was just a bunch. It was a big rock pile. You might have a little rainstorm come through and stuff greens up for maybe a week or so, but then it soon dries up. They didn't have grocery stores, and so they looked to God, and God provided this manna for them. Ladies and gentlemen, God is the supplier of the true bread of life, the true manna from heaven. It does not emanate from man. Paul said in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scriptures of any private origin, some translations give. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, or the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so it was not the will of man. It doesn't emanate from man. We don't look to the teachings of man. No, we look to God to supply that manna from heaven, the true bread of life. May we suggest something else, is that it's near at hand. You think back to the Jews as they wandered in the wilderness, wherever they went. The manna was provided. They didn't say, well, let's go down and get a truckload down at Egypt. We've got to go back to Egypt and get it. It wasn't necessary. It was there close. Wherever they went from place to place, the manna was there near at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, the true bread of life is near as we partake and imbibe of the teachings of Jesus, wherever we are. It's not necessary to go through a specific geographical place in order to receive the teachings of Christ. Jesus says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The word of the Lord goes forth throughout the world. It did in the first century. It goes forth today. In the book of Romans chapter 10 then, Romans chapter 10, in verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 10 in verses 6 through 8. Paul says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? It's not necessary that we make a trip to heaven in order to believe in Jesus. Not necessary. That is, to bring Christ down from above. Don't have to fetch Him back. We have the message. We can believe on Christ. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ from there. You don't have to send somebody down into the Hadean realm and bring back Christ. It wasn't necessary. That was transpired and it has been recorded. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 17-18. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have you not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. If we want to imbibe, if we want to partake of the manna from above, of the teachings of Jesus Christ, to know about Him, and to partake of Him, it's near at hand. It's not necessary to make some sort of pilgrimage to go a certain place. It's not a requirement in Christianity to make a pilgrimage. You know, in Islam, there's a pilgrimage that is required. If any way possible, they say you've got to make a pilgrimage to Mecca and some of these other places once in your lifetime. And not so in Christianity. It'd be nice to go visit the Bible lands in Jerusalem around about and kind of see the terrain and how everything's set and the depth of field and distances to get that visually in your mind, but it's not necessary. It's not essential to go to heaven, be interesting, nice to see someday, but not necessary in our relationship before God. It's near at hand, right here in, well, not downtown, but in the suburbs of Quail, Kentucky. We can partake of the manna from heaven. In Acts 17, in verse 27, it says that they should seek the Lord, if happily they may feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. We don't have to go to Palestine and get on a boat or get on a plane. Because you're not going to drive over there. You're going to have to cross water some way. It's either by boat or plane. Well, I guess you could swim it. Probably most couldn't swim that far. But you don't have to get over to Jerusalem to get this information and to partake of the bread of heaven. It's near at hand. May we suggest something else about the manna from heaven? There is a constant gathering. a concept partaking of it. Every day the Jews went out as the dew would fall and then the manna was left. They would gather up every day, and of course twice on the sixth day in preparation of the Sabbath. But week after week after week after week after month after month after month, year after year after year, they gathered the manna to sustain themselves. Even so, ladies and gentlemen, we must partake day after day of the true bread from heaven. And Jesus says there that we must eat of His flesh and drink of His blood. And if we fail to, we have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And it is a continual process as we stay connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven, the true manna from heaven. He is the one that we must partake of continually. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful in death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As little babies partake of milk and they grow and they increase, even so we constantly must gather in and imbib of the fellowship and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we suggest something else when you look at the parallel? Man has his part in the process. You know, God sent the dew, and what was left was the manna, and they had to go and gather it up. Every day they had to gather it up. I mean, God could have just put it in a truck and they just went and just held up a bucket and got an omer for each of their family members. I mean, He could have had a UPS delivery system set up and angels could have come and handed it at their doorstep. But that's not the way God ordained it. He wanted man to have a part. Man couldn't provide the manna, so God provided the manna, but they could provide the manpower to gather it up. The man has a part in the process of the manna, and the cooking of the manna, and the eating of the manna. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it is spiritually. In the spiritual manna, we have to labor and work. Look there in John chapter 6 once again. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, verse 27, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, him shall hath God the Father sealed. We've got to labor and work. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So there is labor, there's work, there's effort, there's time and energy that we have to put in partaking of the manna from above, the true bread of life. We have a part that we've got to be actively involved. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience through the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. To who? To all them that obey him. Human instrumentality is involved. Paul would say in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, notice there in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, we can't sit around like a bundle of the law and say, well, I hope God will put it in my mouth. I hope God will feed me. I hope God will take care of everything. God take care of his part, but he intends that there is a human part in the process. The man has to be actively involved, just as it was in the Old Testament. They would actively go out and gather up the manna. Even so, we've got to be active in the scheme of redemption that God has planned for humanity. Manna from heaven. They would suggest that it is freely given. It is by grace that it's given to us. In John 6 and verse 32, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. It is a matter of grace. When God sent man in the Old Testament, it wasn't like, well, now at the end of it, be sure to send your payments in. They had no payments to give. It was free. It wasn't, well, now don't worry about payments. We'll send you the bill. Yeah, 30 days to send in the appropriate amount. It wasn't. It was given. It was grace. Given conditionally that they go out and gather it up. Given conditionally that they gather it up, cook it, and eat it. I mean, he didn't just sort of put it in their mouth in a miraculous way. Miraculously, he gave it, but they had to go out and gather it up. But it was by his grace. It is by grace that we receive salvation. Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." In Ephesians 2, in verse 8 there, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." So I'm trying to say, well, he's talking about faith. No, he's not talking about the faith part, he's talking about the saved part. We're saved by grace. That's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we talk about the manna, we ponder about that, we see the striking parallel. Yes, it was given by grace. Man had a part in the process. There is a constant gathering. It was near at hand, and God is the one who was the provider. May we suggest also, it provided nourishment. I don't know. I guess God chalked in the all the ingredients and everything that was essential in that manna for them to eat. For 40 years, it sustained the lives of people. I mean, the vitamins and minerals and everything they need to sustain human life, it was in the manna. And they ate and they partook of it. And in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, the manna came to them as they came into the land, and there was fruits and grains for them to eat as they conquered the land. And the manna stopped. And for those 40 years of those who lived, whatever period of time they lived during the wilderness wandering, it provided the nourishment for their bodies. Even so, those who partake of the bread of heaven, it provides our spiritual nourishment. Verse 50 of John 6, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, and a man may eat thereof and not die." All the spiritual nutrients that we need are found in the bread of life. Jesus says in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." It has all that we need in the bread of life. I remember when I studied some about health and nutrition years ago, and the difference between white bread and whole wheat bread. And the wheat kernel is an interesting scenario of what man decided to do. They looked at the bran, that's the hard, fibrous covering of a wheat kernel. They thought, well, now that's not protein. And man thought, well, that's not a carbohydrate. Now, that's not a fat. What do we need that for? Let's get rid of that. And the wheat germ, they took out the wheat germ, and they'd have the white, fluffy part of the wheat kernel left to make white flour. But when you take out the wheat germ, you take out most of the vitamins. So they thought, well, we've got to add some vitamins back in. That's just an empty carbohydrate. And lo and behold, man come up with white bread. But when they began studying in nutrition, they thought, well, wait a minute, we need bran. The fiber is very important in digestive health. And keeping the digestive tract healthy, we need fiber in the human system. And that wheat germ, why did we take all that out? And the point is, when God made the wheat kernel, which we make bread, God put everything in it that we need. If we just left it there and quit monkeying around with the way God made the wheat kernel and ground it up and make our bread, it'd be a lot more healthy. But you know, that's the way people are spiritually. They come to Jesus, the bread of life, and they decide, well, we don't need this. And so they begin tossing out there. Well, we don't need baptism. We don't need immersion. We don't need the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We don't need a cappella singing. And they begin taking out things. And then they decide to add and substitute things in. Well, we'll just build a gymnasium and we'll have a choruses and not worry about everybody singing because not everybody can sing well. And so we'll just have a chorus and let them perform for everybody. And they come up with a poor substitution of the bread of life. Why don't we just leave it the way God made it? That's the way it was in the Old Testament. When it comes to the manna and the bread that God fed them with, just leave it because it will sustain and nourish the body. And when it comes to the spiritual sustenance of humanity, spiritually, we just take the bread of life. Whole and complete. Without any addition, subtraction, substitution, or modification, we take the bread of life. Whole and complete. Something else in comparison. You look back to the manna from heaven back then, it was white and sweet, as we learned from Exodus 16. Ladies and gentlemen, may we suggest that the bread of life that we imbibe of, when we imbibe of the teaching and the person of Jesus Christ, it's white and that it is pure. That's the amazing thing about the Word of God. Even though there have been attempts to corrupt and to destroy, the Word of God yet abides. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. It's still the same gospel that was called in the first century that we have today. In Revelation chapter 10 there, in verse 9, and I went unto the angel, and he said unto me, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Ladies and gentlemen, when we partake of the Word of God and the teaching of Jesus Christ, they are sweet as honey. To know divine truth and to know what's right that emanates from the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, it is sweet as honey. It may be bitter in our stomach because of the application and the consequences of what it teaches, but it indeed is sweet as honey. When we think about the manna, the bread way back then, and we think about the manna today, well, it was available for all. The manna, the dew would fall, the manna was left, and everybody could go out and gather it up. Gather for every man, Exodus 16 and verse 16. Even so, Jesus, the bread of life, the true manna from above, he says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. It is available for everybody. Manna was provided for all Israelites. Ladies and gentlemen, the manna, the bread from above, is available for all. All can come and partake and imbibe. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 2 and verse 17. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28 and in verse 19. All will partake. All choose not. But it is available for all. May we suggest something else when we look at the manna from heaven? And that is, it comes quietly and noiselessly. It's like when the dew fell. Back in the Old Testament, the manna was left. It came without noise. Many a time, have you ever asked, or somebody asked you, boy, did you hear it rain last night? Yeah, I woke up, I heard it pouring. And it was pouring cats and dogs. But you never ask, nobody ever asks you, well, did you hear the dew fall last night? It becomes quiet. You wake up and the ground is just saturated wet. It comes quietly. Even so, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel working in the hearts of people comes without fanfare, without pomp, without parade, without trumpets blaring and blasting. You know, if the president would come to Mount Vernon, Kentucky, there'd be a motorcade and there'd be sirens blowing. Everybody knows the president has arrived in Mount Vernon, Kentucky. But I tell you, when the gospel works so often, it's so quiet. Because it works in the hearts of men and women. When people hear the teachings and in the recesses of their heart and in the rectitudes of their mind, they ponder, they think, and it moves people to action. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The gospel seed is sown in the hearts of people. And when that message, that seed is planted in the hearts of people, quietly it works. Jesus says in John 3 and in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it desires. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We see the effects. We see the effects, but it working quietly within the hearts of men and women, young men and young women, in the teachings of the gospel, working in the hearts, and the message and the person of Jesus Christ of those who will allow it. Ladies and gentlemen, we think about the manna back in the Old Testament, we think about the manna today, and we see lots of parallels. God is the supplier of the manna back then and now. It was near at hand back then and now. There was a constant gathering back then and now. Man had his part in the process back then, also now. It's freely given. It is by grace that is given to us. It provides nourishment for the body back then, for the soul today. It was white and sweet. It's available for all. It's quiet and without noise and fanfare that it came back then and now. And let me suggest lastly, when we look at parallels of the manna from heaven, we've got to get it early. There in Exodus 16 and verse 21, they had to go out in the morning and gather it. When the sun got hot, it just melted away and was gone, vaporized. And the parallel for us today is that we've got to get it while we have time and opportunity. That is, while we're alive. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the day of salvation. We've got to get it early. That is, while the world stands, while we're alive, if we don't partake of the bread of heaven, if we don't eat of this bread of heaven, of eating of the blood of the flesh of Jesus and drink His blood, if we don't imbibe of Jesus Christ while we're alive, in eternity it'll be too late. We can't wait till we die. We can't wait till the Lord Jesus says, and I'm ready now. You know, I want to partake of it now. Well, it's too late. Can't wait till we step into eternity by death or by the coming of Christ. We've got to get it early while we're alive. That's what Paul said. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Think not like Felix in Acts chapter 24. Where he said, well, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Our time to get it is now. To get it early while we're alive and while we're of the mindset and the world's there. And the question is, as we extend the invitation of Jesus Christ, have you partaken of the manna from heaven? This bread, the true bread from heaven. We're going to sing a song for your encouragement. Maybe there's one here that's never partaken of the bread of life, Jesus the Christ. You can. You can step out by hearing this good message, hearing the good news of Jesus' death, of the gift of God's Son. Would you believe in Him? Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would we be willing to repent and turn to God? Luke 13 and verse 3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Would we be willing to make our life right by turning it around, coming to God? Would we be willing to obey the Lord's command to confess Jesus before men? Matthew 10, verse 32. Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And would you be willing to be baptized for forgiveness of sins? Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gets you started of partaking of the bread, the true bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. And then every day to be faithful. Just keep serving the Lord. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Just keep serving God day after day. And we'll just walk someday right on into eternity. And then if we quit partaking of this bread, quit imbibing and eating of this bread, when we repent and come back and pray God for forgiveness, we're going to sing the song to your encouragement. And if it's your need and your desire today, and we can help or assist you to partake of the true bread from heaven, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and if that's your desire, come and let us know what we can do to help you. While together as we stand and as we sing.